Amplats' profits have trebled over the 6 months to the end of June, seeing it declare a chunky 11 rand per share dividend. But the miner says it's not going to embed unsustainably high wage increases into its cost base. CEO Chris Griffith joins me now. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today. So the headline numbers are impressive, but if we get to the crux of it, the Rand PGM basket, 80% of the push behind your earnings, 20% better cost controls. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's a fair assessment. I think we're really pleased, first of all, to have a set of results like this. Very pleased that we've done that on the back of really good safety performance. And so a good set of results, but as you correctly point out, a great push from the PGM prices. And that has been some time coming, so we've been expecting that. But the one thing you know about prices, as they go up, they can still come down. And you know, particularly the Rand, half of the benefit came from the weakness of the Rand, and already the Rand is stronger than it has been in the first half of this year. So we don't quite know, and what you want to be very, very careful about is to embed those costs that you spoke about into your base, and then the price comes down and then you're out of business again. So this is only 2 years ago that we had 60% of the platinum group metal industry, the platinum mining industry in South Africa, was loss-making. And it was loss-making for 5 years before that, at that level. So this is an industry that's just clawing its way out of that very difficult environment. It's just starting to get to a stage where we can start thinking about reinvesting in the companies again. And that's, of course, what's in the long-term benefits of all employees and the companies, to have long-term employment secured. So we want to be very careful that we don't undermine the potential for that benefit going forward.
Having said that, Chris, to what extent is your increased dividend payout policy reflective of your ability to generate and sustain strong cash flows from here on out to post your restructuring endeavours?
So we think the company is in a really good shape. The portfolio is really good. We have high margin assets now. So we do have we have comfort that our 40% of headline earnings payout ratio is sustainable. But we want to make sure that you don't mess that up by increasing costs above where inflation is and therefore undermine the viability of the company.
How do you get labor unions to understand why the numbers you've put on the table today, does not translate to higher wages off the same scale when you're sitting around that negotiating table?
You know, I think that clearly is the crux. But we have very smart people that are sitting on the other side. I mean, the unions actually do understand a lot of what's made up in business. But, you know, they'll be arguing for their members, and the companies have got to make sure that we have sustainable, sustainable businesses. So the question is, well, so then how can we share and how can we provide increases perhaps that don't embed some of those increases into the underlying base of the business? But, you know, as you correctly point out, that's going to be the challenge going into these negotiations.
How are talks progressing?
So it's really early days. The unions have put their wage demands, and not unsurprisingly, the initial demands are always very, very high. That's not new this time compared to any other previous negotiations we've had. We've had some exploratory conversations trying to understand what makes up their demands, but the companies haven't yet put their offers on the table, and that's going to be happening, I guess, in the next week or two.
The commentary has been that you're the least exposed, you know, with your core mining businesses mechanized and now low cost. Just how low have you managed to get cost of production?
I think the important things when you talk about wage negotiations is to look at our overall portfolio, but then where some of our mines are exposed. So let's start with the Amandelbult, which is an underground conventional mine. That's where the majority of our labor force is, 15,000 of our 25,000 people are at Amandelbult, and that's 60% of all of our costs relates to labor. So you can see what the potential impact could be if you increase labor costs too much. Very, very quickly, you can put a mine like Amandelbult out of business, make it loss-making, and then you can see the quantity of labor that is exposed to that environment. Overall, for the company, about 35% of our cost is labor. And that shows that at some of our more mechanized and our open pit operations, we have lower labor costs in those operations.
Yeah. I've got to ask, you sold your Rustenburg operations to Sibanye at the bottom of the Rand PGM prices. Do you wish that you still had them, given all that you've got to contend with still within the operating environment?
No, I think we absolutely have done exactly what we wanted to do, and that's moved our portfolio into being less exposed to deep level underground conventional mining safety. We've got much higher margin assets now. And then remember, one of the ways that we structured the deal is that we would participate in 35% of all the profit made from Rustenburg until such time they paid us 3 billion rand. So no, we still are actually exposed to some of the benefits and the profits from that organization without having to mine it. And at the same time, our portfolio has moved on. And today we announced a 50% margin, and you compare that to the margin that you'll be earning at Rustenburg.
And in a bid to get an even better handle on the cost side of things and extrapolate, I guess, greater margins down the road, you've been looking to reduce your reliance on Eskom. Are you making any progress on that front with regards to your solar project?
So we've just gone out to tender for that solar project, for a 75 megawatt solar plant at Mogalakwena. We expect in the next month or two to have those bids come back, and I think we'll have a fairly good understanding, and then we can approach the regulators to get approval for that project. But as we stand now, there's no renewable window open within the integrated resource plan, and we would have to approach the minister for exemption. But that'll happen probably in the next 2 months.
In the interim, do you see pricing staying supportive? Because a rand factor aside, you've said that you're on track to meet your full year production guidance. Is there demand that you're actually catering to?
So absolutely. If you look at the basket of metals, and always very, very important as you think about our business, to think about we don't only mine platinum, but we mine platinum, palladium, rhodium, and a number of minor metals. And if you think about that, so platinum is in a very large deficit. So probably about 800,000 ounces this year. And that's why you're seeing the palladium price rise so much. And at the same time, you're likely to see rhodium dragged with it. And that's why rhodium was up by 47% this year. So platinum is the only metal of those that I've spoken about that is probably in balance and a little bit of in a negative this year, deficit. So we should see a little bit of uptick in the price. But if you look at the overall basket, so the 3E metals will be in deficit, and therefore we expect that the prices will remain sort of pretty stable where they are now, and those are very good prices for us.
Okay, so Chris, what kind of capital commitments or investments are you making into new projects?
So we're spending about 6 billion rand. So we again confirmed to the market that we will spend between 5.7 and 6.3 billion. But let's round that off to say we're spending 6 billion rand. About 4 billion of that will be in sustaining the business. And then a portion of that will be about 800 million will go into the sulfur abatement at our smelters. And so that's to make sure that the discharge that we have from the smelters is much cleaner, and that'll meet world benchmark standards. And then about another billion rand that is going into smaller projects, smaller fast payback projects, like the chrome plant at Amandelbult, like more mechanized mining at Amandelbult, and a few other of those kind of projects. And then what we're doing is we're doing the project studies for the next bigger expansion projects at Mogalakwena and Mototolo Der Brochen.
Well, let's leave it there. Chris, thanks so much for having joined us today. Of course, Chris Griffith is CEO of Anglo American Platinum.